I'm Georgie Crawford. This is the Good Glow Podcast. Following a cancer diagnosis in my 30s, my goal is to inspire and empower people on their self-care journey. Through the conversations I have with my guests, we hope to do just that.
There is a plan, and believe that if you're at rock bottom and you're suffering, this is all part of your life, your tapestry. This is your story, and where you go next is what's crucial.
The love before was easy, but the love at my lowest was real.
We all know what makes us happy. We all know the life we dreamed about. And deep down, we all know what we're capable of if you only give yourself permission to do it.
I now live a healthy and fulfilled life where self-care is a top priority and every day is an opportunity to grow. This season, I'm so proud to say I've teamed up with Vichy. Vichy is an expert French pharmacy dermocosmetic brand. Doctor-founded Vichy has established the link between health and beauty and led the way in skincare innovation for 90 years. Powered by active ingredients, all product formulations are clinically proven, hypoallergenic and dermatologically tested for sensitive skin, making Vichy a pioneer in skin health science. Taking a holistic approach to skin health, Vichy is committed to provide safe and effective skincare routines for every skin type at every life stage. All Vichy products are available in local pharmacies nationwide. Hello and welcome to the Good Glow Podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in today. A very special episode with Dominique Nugent today. I think it was important for me to get her back on the podcast. She first appeared on the Good Glow back in January. She was in the depths of heartbreak. Her life had fallen apart after she called off her wedding and she was trying to rebuild her life little by little. A lot has happened in the 9 months since she's been on my podcast. Today we go a little bit deeper into what those bad times looked like for her. I thought it was a little bit raw back in January to go too deep. So she opens up about those bad times today a little bit more. We speak about her new love and everything that's happened over the last few months, which is really exciting for her. If there is anybody affected by today's content, I have left a phone number for the Samaritans in the episode show notes. Dominique was supported by such an amazing family and they were with her every step of the journey. But I know for a lot of people that's not the case. So I think it is really important to reach out if you are feeling low and talk to somebody. In some other news, my show at the National Concert Hall on November 2nd is going ahead at 8 p.m. Very, very exciting. We've been planning the show for nearly 2 years and I'm so excited to announce that we have booked the Dublin Gospel Choir for the night. I really wanted there to be live music and really uplifting, inspiring guests. And I'm so excited that the Dublin Gospel Choir will be a part of the night and they're going to bring so much fun to the night. And I'm really excited to tell you about my guests over the coming week or two. And we're really excited for it. It's going to be absolutely super. If you've got any questions about the show, all original tickets are valid. And if you've got any questions, you can drop me a mail on Instagram. I'm at georgie.crawford. So back to Dominique. I hope you enjoy this podcast. And if you do, please leave me a review. Dominique, thank you so much for coming back onto the Good Glow podcast nearly 9 months later.
I know, it's so mad. It feels like it's full circle coming back here.
It is so full circle. We were just chatting there before we came on and I feel like you look different. Your voice sounds different. You sound stronger. How are you?
So good. So happy. Really, really happy now. I felt like when I spoke to you last, I said I was happy, but I was coming out of such a dark, low time that little bit of happiness I had was, I was so low at Christmas. And then I felt really happy in January because I was just like working on myself. But like the happiness that I feel now is just even so much more.
You shared a card this morning, actually, that I thought was so lovely because I always believe with guidance cards, angel cards, whatever they may be, that the one that you need always comes up. And it was, time is the greatest healer. Have patience with time and healing will follow. You've been to hell and back over the last while. How do you feel now when you wake up in the morning?
Like, I just feel like really happy in myself now. I'm happy in kind of all aspects of my life. Like, I really realised the important things when I was so low during kind of 2020, that now I just wake up and I'm so grateful for everything that I do have. Like, I get up now and I'd write in a gratitude journal, and I feel like all of those things have just really helped, and I'm just so thankful for where I am in my life now.
Because you actually spoke in the last podcast that we did about certain things you turn to in kind of the darkest of times, like you went to a medium, you were doing Reiki. Have you continued that over the last few months?
I actually only text Hazel to like book in another Reiki session now, and I was like, it's going to feel really different, I think, going now in the state that I'm in compared to like last year when I was quite low. Like, I feel like at the time I was looking for all these different things to kind of heal myself, and now that I'm in a good place, I want to kind of continue them. I had, obviously because of COVID, a lot of them were closed and now they're reopening. I want to go back and kind of revisit all that type of stuff and just see what it's like in a different mindset to go in and feel happy, because I think sometimes people only use those kind of resources when they are feeling low. Or so I just wonder what type of benefit it will have now that I am in a better place.
What do you, when you think about the last few years, and obviously the last time we recorded the podcast, it was so raw and I didn't really want, we didn't get into the details and, you know, but you had said to me in that podcast, like, it got bad, and you said that a few times. So when you look back at that time now, what did you mean by that?
Like, obviously, with being online kind of and sharing my life in general online, there was different aspects that kind of really affected me. Like, when all of that stuff happened and I found out about the relationship and him being unfaithful and stuff, like, there was so many different things. Like, people were messaging me different bits of information all through Instagram, like, in the weeks after. I just felt like it was constantly, like, different blows. Every, like, week there was something extra to add to it. And I was like, nothing can be worse. Like, there can't be anything worse all the time. And then there was. So I felt like when I thought I was at rock bottom, there was always something. And people were kind of sending me messages being like, I just thought you should know this. And at the time, I was like, I don't want to know anything else. It was bad enough. But all those type of things, I felt so hopeless. Like I didn't want to be alive. Like, I've never, ever felt like that before. And I don't think I really went into that the last time on the podcast because it was still quite fresh. Like, I remember Stevens's day, like the day after Christmas. Like, my family were so good at Christmas, and like, even in the evening, like, my sister sent my brother-in-law home with the kids and she stayed for a while, and my little sister, because obviously you could only mix two households at the time, so it was, they were the only people that were around me, and they were just really trying everything to like make me happy. And the next day, Stevens's day, I remember like closing the curtains and I watched like You Have Got Mail in my dressing gown, and I just was like, I just didn't want to be here. Never, ever felt like that. And I went out for a drive in my car up the Dublin mountains. And I remember just thinking, like, I wouldn't be sad now if I died. Like, it's a horrible, like, thing to even think of now. And I didn't tell, like, my family that at the time, obviously. And my mom and my sisters were texting me and they're like, where are you gone? But I was just like, God, now if a car knocked me off the road, like, I'd be happy. I'd be happy to be gone. Yeah. So it was just like, those times are really hard for me because I never felt anything like that before. Like, I always was quite like content and stuff. So it was hard to have thoughts like that. And it just made me, I suppose, have empathy for people that would have thoughts like that, because when you don't understand it or go through it, you'd be like, oh, you have everything. Like, why are you feeling like that? Obviously, at the time, I didn't feel like that. I had my family, but I just felt like I'd lost so much that there was nothing going for me.
Oh, that's so, I have a lump in my throat just listening to you say that, because, oh my God, what you must have been going through. And you said that your family were, you know, so upset. Your sister crashed her car. She was crying a lot. do you think that they were so upset because they were really, really worried about your mental health?
Yeah, they were like, and because obviously I kept saying stuff like that all the time, like that I'm just never going to be happy again. Like my mom still asks me now, like every so often, are you happy? Like, because I think I had it so like ingrained in their minds that like I would never be happy. That's all I was saying at the time. But they were so worried about me. I know, like that was consuming them. Like what happened was consuming me, but their worry for me was consuming their minds, and all they could think about. So I felt like guilty for that as well. Do you know that I had kind of put that on them? And they were so worried about me, and it just affected like the whole family. And I think that sometimes people don't realize that. And when stuff like this happens, like it's such a knock on effect to your whole family. Like it's not only the person that's in the relationship that's affected by it. Like, remember I said the last time, like my niece was crying over, she was only five. Like she still says little things now that are like so sad. Like actually, about 2 weeks ago, I collected her from school and she was really sad over at the time. And obviously I couldn't explain it to a five-year-old. I had to just say that we broke up. I wasn't getting into any details or anything like that. But she had all photos of us, like myself and my ex-partner, on her iPad with her, because we would have always minded her. And my sister said over the months, like she was turning her little iPad around and showing my sister and like putting a sad face on. And I was like, that's so sad. And I collected her about 2 weeks ago, and she said to me, I deleted those pictures off my iPad last night. And I was like, what pictures? And she said, like, of thousands. And she was like, maybe me, you and Paddy could get some more, like when I get to know him a little better. And I was like, oh my God, so cute. But it was hard to kind of introduce a new relationship. I felt like I really wanted to protect my family as well from anything kind of going wrong again. But I thought that was so cute that she said that.
Oh, so adorable. She's such a little sweetheart. And in those days after Stephen's day and those moments that you had with yourself, how did you rebuild?
Like, I think it was obviously when they had sent me those messages and I came home and I walked into my house and like my sisters were there, my granny was there, and I was like there's more to my life than this. Like it was just my family and coming in and seeing them all there, and I was like, I can't put any more hardship on them. I wouldn't have done anything anyway. I just felt like I didn't want to be here, but I never had a thought process that I would do anything. But it was just seeing them, and I was like they've done so much for me. Like I just really was like, okay, make yourself happy and you're going to make them happy. So that's like, it was like that day my mindset did kind of shift when I got home, because I was so low for Christmas and the lead up to Christmas, and I was just like sitting in the kitchen crying, like all in the lead up to Christmas. And then it was like a switch on Stephen's day after that had happened, and I was like, no, you can't do anything like that to your family, like they're so good to you. And yeah, it was like from there on, like I remember from like waking up into the new year, I was like, I just felt really different then. It was like my mindset had shifted, and I was like, this is what I have to be grateful for and happy about, and everything else will fall into place. And I just think I believed that then.
When you say, you know, those rock bottom moments, and I've been reading about rock bottom moments, and there's this book called Untamed by Glennon Doyle, which you should so read, Dominique. But she speaks about rock bottom moments and how we're so afraid of rock bottom moments, because it feels like obviously like your life is over and has ended. But what if we kind of switch the narrative and think a rock bottom moment could be the start of something new? And you have to get to that rock bottom moment in order to have the awakening that, you know, your life can start again, or your life can go in a different direction. So you had your rock bottom moment at Christmas, and then you woke up in 2021, and I know you were so excited to kind of get into a new year and try to rebuild. And you have been doing that. And how did you feel about so many people following you when you shared the news? Did you feel almost like these people were just kind of having a look, or did you feel support from people?
I felt support. Did like you? It felt like it was like a community, like, because I feel like it's do you know, like in a friend group, if someone was going through something, like even now, someone that the girl that messaged me last night that I was talking to about before we started the podcast, she was saying, my friend told me to follow you and look at you now compared to last year, to have somebody that you could look at that has been there, done that, and then came back and being a stronger version of themselves. So it was like a community, like people were sending me messages and all the messages are positive. They were like, this happened to me and I feel a lot better now. And just reading them gave me so much hope. Like I really did feel like it was like a community. There was obviously maybe the odd person that was just like, didn't follow me before. There was lots of people that only followed when that had happened. Mm-hmm. But I do think it was like a support thing. And do you know, it's just like trying to help someone if you went through it. And I was talking to someone now, I'd feel like an urge to help you and be like, this could be the start of something, like,
yeah,
something better in your life that you just don't see at the time. You just see kind of darkness.
I've been reading a lot about whispers recently, right? And whispers like when it's like the knowing part of you. And sometimes we push whispers away or we don't want to sit with the knowing because we know it's right. And do you, when you look back at your life before last year, do you think you had whispers?
Yeah. Like when I look back now, at the time, I felt like there was nothing. But when I look back now in the state that I'm in, there were so many things that like, I feel like there were little signs, like kind of guiding me, even in the way, in the end, the way I kind of found out what was going on. It was so unexpected, like, and it was exactly what I needed to see, to find out. Because if someone had just told me about it, you know, it's not like you mightn't have believed what was going on, because I thought the relationship was quite happy at the time, and there was nothing really gone wrong. But when I look back, there was a couple of little things like that. Like in the February, we had broken up in the August, and in the February, I was really anxious, like so bad to the point that like I went to the doctor. I felt like I had something in my throat that I couldn't swallow. I've since like people have sent on what it's actually called. But like I couldn't eat in restaurants. I felt like I couldn't swallow, and it was like, it was anxiety. But I remember going thinking like, I'm choking on something. I went to the doctor and he was like, it could be anxiety. And it's about you kind of not speaking your truth. But I was like, was that my like subconscious knowing that something wasn't right? Like my gut knowing something wasn't right? Because that was when the affair started. At the time was February, and I obviously didn't know anything to do with that. But from February till August, I was so anxious, like really, really bad. I would suffer with that a little bit anyway, kind of panic attacks, but nothing to that scale. And I was like, that was weird. Like, was that like my gut instinct knowing something wasn't right, but I couldn't put my finger on it and I just didn't know.
And do you hear from people now who may, you know, speak in confidence to you and say, my wedding date is in the diary and I'm nervous, I'm worried?
Yeah. Like I had a message from a girl a couple of months ago, and she had messaged me previously, like 4 months previous, and she thought something was going on and I didn't see the message at the time. And she messaged me again 4 months later and she said, like, I just found out now, like I should have trusted my gut at the time, but she had no information, kind of, she just thought something was going wrong. And I was like, I'll never not trust my gut again. Like,
why do we always have to learn the hard way how to trust our gut?
Like, because if you just said to someone, oh, I have a gut instinct, something isn't right here, they'd be like, what? Like, you know,
I think it comes with age as well, doesn't it?
Definitely.
And experience. Like, I think as women, like, we know ourselves and we should listen to that voice and those whispers. Actually, Oprah does a brilliant podcast on whispers on her Super Soul Sundays. If anyone wants to kind of learn more about it and learn how to trust your gut and your intuition, it's such a good podcast.
I'll have to listen to it.
So you went to a medium and she said you will be happy again. And does that all make sense to you now?
Yeah, like she had said, I would be happy at Christmas. And I remember at Christmas, that's all I was holding out for. And at the time, I didn't feel that, but it really gave me hope that I would be happy again. Because when you're in such a low place, you just don't feel like you're going to feel that happiness again. But when I look at it now, thinking of like a week later in 2021, like I couldn't have imagined how different I would have felt, like only, it was 5 or 6 months later at that stage, but it all made sense then. And everything she said, even down to the fact that when I would meet somebody else, she said February, I met him in February. Like, there was all little things like that. And yeah, it did all make sense then.
I have to say, when you went on holidays to Santorini and I was following your stories, I was like, who is that in the background? She's sitting beside. And then I think it was the last night you did the reveal. It was, you know, when it actually reminded me of, you know, when Beyonce was at the VMAs and she revealed her like pregnancy bump. It was literally like, oh my God. Do you feel like loads of people want to know all the information about your boyfriend?
Yeah.
What are you willing to share?
When I was doing all the Q&As, you know, like over the last year or whatever, at the start, it was all just focused on how did you get over it, like kind of tips like that. And then once I showed anything, like I think I showed his hand or something at the start, and they were like, oh my God, is that a man in that? Like, all the questions then, 90% was like, who is he? What's his name? Where does he live? Well, he's like not on social media or anything. So we spoke for a long time about whether I would kind of share him online, and then it was only, we only decided actually in Santorini that yeah, we would do it. And because I was like, people are just like, they want to share my happiness.
Yeah.
But I was actually really anxious before putting them photos up because it was kind of a big deal. But I'm glad that we've done it now, and he felt a lot more at ease when he was actually like, when I put up the photos.
Yeah, because it's not hanging over you guys what, the, you know, the reaction was.
Because I was like, it's only going to be the first one and then it'll just be grand. It's not like people are going to.
Yeah, I don't know. I think people are still really interested. You dated him before, didn't you?
Yeah, yeah. So I met him 9 years ago in Australia. And I actually left Ireland, like left a kind of a bad relationship here. And I met him, I think, the second day in Australia. I liked him straight away and we started seeing each other. But at the time I was like, I'm just after moving to Australia. Like, I was only 22.
Yeah.
I kind of wanted to travel around and enjoy myself. So we moved, myself and Grace, my friend over there at the time, we moved 3 months later. And he said to me now, he remembers where we were standing when I told him I was moving, like, because I was moving city. And I was like, oh, that's so sad. But I left. But I just feel like he was really right person, wrong time, like, for me at the time, because he was just like, he's the nicest person. Like, my mom said that to me actually a while ago. She was like, I remember you saying years ago he was the nicest person you're ever with. And I was like, that should have been kind of a sign to me then that, like, maybe there was something there. But I didn't know anything about him. I hadn't heard from him in 9 years. Like, I hadn't seen him. He's not from Dublin. And he lived in Australia, I know, for a couple of years. So I didn't even know he lived in Ireland, let alone that he was living in Dublin now. So his message to me was completely out of the blue.
And had he been seeing what had happened
to you? No, so he's not on social media, but he has sisters. And his sister, he said his sister brought me up at Christmas dinner and said that I was single and kind of what had happened. And he then messaged me, like, I think it was like the very end of January. It was like 2 weeks after the podcast. And I remember leaving here and we were outside talking. I was like, I don't want to meet anyone. Like, I can't imagine it. And then when his name like popped up on my phone, I was like, oh my God.
Did your heart skip a beat?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my God. And then he kind of asked me out straight away and I didn't say yeah, straight away, because I was so nervous. But we were texting for a couple of days and then he asked again and I was like, okay, we went for like a walk in the park. But it was so weird to see him again. And then it just felt like the years kind of fell away when I did see him again. And yeah, we've been together ever since.
Oh God. And what was it like telling your family?
God, it was so funny. I was actually sitting on the couch with my little sister and it's funny even the way he sent me a message, because it was through a messenger app and I didn't have it. 2 weeks previous to that messenger app, I was in work and my friend's brother came in and he was looking to send on measurements for a sofa or something. And he was like, will I send them to you on Instagram? And I was like, oh no, I won't see them. And he was like, oh, I'll send them to you on this app or whatever. And I was like, okay. So I downloaded it. And I was like 2 weeks before that, if you had sent the message, I wouldn't have gotten it. And the message, I opened it because I was on the phone to my friend Emma at the time. And she was like, I'm after sending you a picture of my mom in the 70s. Look at her outfit. It's so cool. And I opened it on Messenger. And I was like, oh, my God. And I had a message from him 2 days ago. So I didn't have notifications or anything set up. And I was like, guess who just texted me? And I was like, what the hell? Like, I didn't even want to click into it because I was like, had that like butterfly feeling in my stomach. And I told my little sister and she was like, I brought him up last week. And I was like, she was like, I manifested him into your life. So funny, because we were out on a walk and I was like, I really just don't want to start over with someone new and explain, get to know someone I don't know and explain the whole story and all this type of thing. She was like, maybe it'll be someone that you know or that you've known before. And she actually mentioned his name and I was like, well, like really random. And then like, yeah, he messaged like a couple of days later.
Oh my God.
Yeah, so I was like, so both of our sisters were in on it.
So obviously, without going into too much detail, I won't keep asking you about him, but does it feel different with him?
Yeah, so different.
In like, what way?
Just everything about the relationship. Like, I just feel like he's what I always kind of wanted. Like, he's so thoughtful, such a nice person. Like, and everybody says it. Like, my mom was like from the moment I met him, she was like, I just could tell he's such a kind person. Like, he has that immediate like factor, and anywhere we go, I feel like people want to talk to him. Like, he's just such a nice person. And I've never met anyone like him before. And I did know that when I met him initially, but I just felt like I was too young to kind of appreciate it at the time. Mm-hmm. And now it's like, yeah, like, it should have always been him.
And do you feel like a different person? Like, do you feel like in that time that you had to yourself that you got the opportunity to kind of find out what you wanted or what you were about?
Yeah, definitely. And I knew kind of if I was to go into another relationship, exactly what I wanted. And I just wanted an honest person. Like, that was like the main thing. It wasn't about looks, obviously. I think he's really good looking. But that was like the main trait. I just wanted someone that was honest and kind and genuine. And I felt like that I really got that with him. And yeah, like, we didn't like rush anything at the start. And he obviously knew, his sisters had told him, do you know what had happened? And then I told him, the second time we met up, he asked me about it and I told him. We had a really like honest conversation. And
I'd say it was hard for him to hear that you had been so hurt.
Yeah. And then I felt like I didn't want to go into another relationship when I wasn't fully happy in myself. So I felt like at the time it was like perfect timing when he texted me, because I was feeling really content in every aspect of my life. Like, I felt like, okay, this has happened for a reason. I felt really motivated as well. I was like, I'm going to do everything for myself. I'm going to get this myself. I don't need to rely on anybody or any man or anything. And there's actually like a quote. Did you ever see that? Like Will Smith, or it was something he said. And he was like, you need to be happy in yourself. Like, you can't rely on someone in a relationship to make you happy. And I felt like that was really true. Like, we both met each other when we were both really content in ourselves. So we've just added to each other's lives rather than completing them, if you know what I mean.
And were you surprised? You probably weren't overly surprised at the reaction, but were you surprised at like the magnitude of the reaction?
Yeah, yeah, totally.
Was it like 50,000, over 50,000 people liked your post?
It was mad. My phone was so hot. And because he wasn't on it, it was the night we got home from Santorini that I posted those photos. And on the plane, he was like, okay, just do it. And I was like, oh God, like the thoughts. And I was like, what photo will I share? And I sent it to my sisters and everybody chose a different photo. And I was like, no one was like unanimous in it. And then I was like to him, I had gone home and I texted him. I was like, I'm going to put it up now. And he had said the photo that I chose, he had said that he liked that one of us the best. So I was like, okay, I'll use that. And then I was like, I might put up a few. And then I had those ones from years ago. And he obviously didn't know I was sharing them. But I put up like a couple, like 7 or 8 photos. And then when I rang him and told him, he was like, oh my God, those really old photos. And I was like, it's cute. Like, it's a nice story.
It was like, it's like a movie, you know, isn't it?
Even on holidays, like when we were in Santorini, like we made really good friends with one of the bar owners. We had kind of told him, even like towards the last nights of the holidays, he was like, did you post him on Instagram yet? I was like, no. But yeah, it was funny, but it was all positive, I think, in the end. And I think it was just really nice to be able to share it, because I shared so much sadness last year, like, yeah. And just to be able to share something that like kind of made people happy and gave people hope that things can change and everything does happen for a reason. Like, at the time you don't see it, but when something happens and you look back, you realize, okay, maybe that was meant for me and that all had to happen.
And I got the impression the last time we spoke that you felt like, and I'd say there's so many people that feel like this, that they've been left behind, and your friends are, you know, getting married and having babies, and it was almost like you were like, you had kind of resigned to the fact that that would never happen for you. Mm. And I think that's where a lot of, you know, your heartbreak was coming from as well, is that fear of the future and that, you know, hanging over you every single day when you woke up. How do you feel about that now?
Really good. Like, yeah, at the time, I didn't want to look to the future. Like, I felt like all of my friends had things to look forward to, whether it be weddings or babies, like everyone kind of had something in their life. And at the time, I felt like I had nothing. Do you know, I was still living at home, I was 31. And I think it is like an age thing as well. I remember saying to my sister, like, I'm never going to have a child now. Like, I would have loved to be a mom. And it was really sad to think of that at the time. She was like, you're only 31, of course you will, you'll meet someone else. And I was like, no, but I don't want to meet anyone else. And that's why I was like resigned to the fact that I wouldn't have a baby. Like, I know you could go out and you could potentially meet someone or go on a dating app, but I just didn't want to.
I feel like that's where the majority of your sadness was almost coming from. I don't want to presume that, but not necessarily about, of course, that losing that relationship was so huge for you. But I think, like what I said about the future, that was almost played as much of a part in your heartbreak as losing the relationship.
Because everything was kind of mapped out. I'm going to be married, I'm going to have a house, we'll probably have a baby after the wedding. It was all those type of things, and it was nearly like just the motion of it. And then I was like, oh God, like now I have no plan. What am I going to do? And I remember just saying to my sister, like, would she share the kids with me? And she was like, oh God, Dominique. Well, I was just like, I'm not going to get to have any now. But like, it's just, you just don't think at the time that things are going to go right for you. You just think, all right, this is it now. This is a write-off on my life. And I obviously love kids. Like, I love my niece and nephew. I see how happy they make my whole family. So I really, like, did want that for myself. And then I thought, oh, that's gone now. Like, I'm too old. Like, if I had been in my early 20s, it would have been different. But that now I'm like, you're never too old, really. Like, there's so many different processes you can go through. But that was kind of an important thing for me. And we actually spoke about that, like, funnily enough, on like our second date. And he was like, do you want kids? And I was like, yeah, do you? And he was like, yeah. And I was like, that was like a good thing to get out of the way at the start. Just know that we both did. Because sometimes when you meet people when you're a little bit older, you might not ask that question for a good few months, and then it could be a deal breaker. So we kind of put all our cards on the table really soon.
And did you feel really vulnerable doing that, Dominique, after, you know, having gone through such heartbreak?
Yeah, like I was afraid kind of to get so involved with someone again. I think that's why at the start he knew and we took things really slow. Like, we didn't see each other as much as I might have if this hadn't happened. Like, we only really seen each other at the weekends, and he's quite a like stressful job. So like the weekends were just a time to relax and with each other, and we didn't have any like distractions. There was no going on any proper dates or going to a pub or going to a cinema. Like, I think it was a few months before we actually got to go to a restaurant. So we really got to know each other really well. And at the start, like, we found that we didn't have much in common. Like, you know, just interests. And I was like, oh God, is that a good sign? Like, we don't. But like, our humor kind of clicked, and we did just get along so well and had a lot of chemistry. But now it's funny, like, we joke about it, like, if we like something the same, like, oh, we have so much in common. Because at the start I was like, oh my God, do we, like, are we compatible? I was like asking him a star sign. He was probably like, oh my God, Dominique.
Yeah, but you're obviously questioning everything, and then questioning yourself, am I rushing into this? And you know, all of these questions that you're flagging with yourself, probably. Yeah.
And it was just like the fear as well of like, imagine that happened to me again. I feel like if it happened again, I just would be in such a better place myself to deal with it. Like, because I never experienced anything like it before, I can't explain. So that's why I've thought, okay, I'll give this another chance. Like, I'll give love another go. Like, I feel like I fell from really quickly, which surprised me because I was so adamant that I would never again and I would never let myself, but it just kind of happened.
I'll get straight back to my conversation with Dominique. But first, I wanted to thank Vichy for supporting the Good Glow and tell you all about their new hero product, Mineral 89 Probiotic Serum. I've been using this over the past few months and I absolutely love it. Recently, through working with Vichy and speaking to their skincare experts, I learned that stress can actually affect our skin and how it looks. Over the past few years, I've certainly learned about the importance of de-stressing. So what can we do for our skin? Well, Vichy's new Mineral 89 Probiotic Serum targets acutely stressed skin and supports the repair of skin barrier damage. Mineral 89 Probiotics is proven to visibly improve dullness, elasticity, stress lines, and overall radiance for the recharge of stressed skin needs. It's dermatologist tested, hypoallergenic, and fragrance free. It can be used every morning and night after cleansing your skin before your moisturizer. For a 20% Mars Pharmacy discount on Mineral 89 Skin Booster and Mineral 89 Probiotic Fraction Serum, use the code GOODGLOW20 online only at mars.ie until November 30th. Do you think your life would have gone down a different path if it wasn't for COVID? Do you think COVID was kind of changed everything for you?
I have often thought about that. Like, was that the reason that the relationship kind of fell apart? Like, on my behalf, I didn't think anything was wrong at the time. But like, sometimes the people that you're in relationships with, they don't tell you what's going on in their own minds. Like, if I had have known, maybe he wasn't feeling happy or, do you know, anything. But I feel like, would that have happened if COVID didn't hit? Like, was it just being enclosed in the house and not being able to do things? Or like, there was all questions like that at the time. Now I feel like it was supposed to happen one way or another. And I was just blessed that it happened before I had gotten married. Or like, I feel like I'm with now who I was supposed to be with. And obviously all that really hard stuff just had to happen to get me to this place in my life and really changed me as a person. I feel like a better person now. It's weird. Like, I wouldn't have thought I was a bad person before, but I am really different now. I feel like I have a lot to kind of offer people, like, just in terms of like maybe giving some advice or being able to help in that way. I suppose it's just nice.
When you have been through something, like you were saying, you know, you have more empathy for people and you feel like you can offer advice. It's like you become, I think, after a trauma, almost a better listener. Or you kind of have more confidence to kind of ask questions or kind of get a bit deeper with somebody. And through your experience, I think you've done that, haven't you? Because, you know, I feel like you stand a little bit taller now than maybe you would have before.
Yeah, I think I do as well. And I think I'm a lot more confident now in myself. I don't question. I feel like I'm happy to be with him and he's happy to be with me. It's not like a case where I think I'm not good enough for someone. Like, I know I'm good enough for someone. And do you know, things like that? Like, I don't question anything like that anymore.
That's so good to hear. Would you go through it all again to be where you are today?
Yeah, it's so weird to actually say that, but I would. Like, it was such a horrible thing to go through, but to get to where I am now, if I had have seen it at the time, it would have made sense. Like, I remember saying at the time, like, make it make sense. Like, why is this happening? Like, why is it happening to me now? And like, kind of publicly. But it does all make sense now.
I was talking to my friend Claire Solin yesterday and I just mentioned that I'd be chatting to you today and we were talking about heartbreak and like it's physical pain that it brings you when you're heartbroken.
It's actually mad that it has such a physical like feeling, like from an emotional state, because I remember at the time, like, I never ever felt like I felt like completely empty inside, like there was nothing in me. I remember saying that to like one of my friends at the time, and I was like, it's mad how like your emotional state can have such a physical impact on your body. Even when I think about the time when I was saying to you, I was anxious and I felt like I had a lump in my throat. Like that was anxiety. Yeah. Like I felt like that was physically something stuck in my throat. Mm. And like then when that had happened, I felt like there was nothing inside me. I was like, I feel like I'm completely empty. It's a weird sensation, but it does manifest in physical ways like stress or anxiety. Like it has such a physical effect on your body.
Yeah, that's why it's so important to address it, especially if you feel stressed or anxious. Mm. You know, because it's that like dis-ease can cause disease.
Yeah.
And but what do you think the biggest thing you've learned about yourself over the last couple of years is?
I learned that the main thing in life is to be happy. Like before this, I might have been chasing things that would make me happy. A wedding or a house. Like I was like, even like when we got engaged back in 2018, I remember saying I didn't want to get married in 2019. 2020 was going to be the year. I had built that year up so big and I was like, I'm going to be so happy that year. There's going to be loads of trips. Like the wedding was abroad, all that type of stuff. And now I really like live in the moment. Like I'm happy now. It's not like I'm waiting for it to be happy. Like I was at an event this morning and I was being interviewed for a magazine and she was like, where do you see yourself in 5 years? And I know it was like a career-based kind of question. And I was like, do you know, like all I think is I want to be happy. Everything else will follow then when you are happy. But that's like just the state that I want to be in and keep that state, because obviously different things happen in life, and once you're happy and you have a family around you that are healthy, like that's all that really matters. Like career is obviously amazing if you're doing well in your career and anything like that, but just to be happy is the main thing.
Oh God, I love that. It's like get happy now.
Yeah, and don't wait for it.
Don't say, oh, next year when that happens or when I get that promotion or, you know, when I go on that holiday, I'll be happy then. I was listening to, I'm training to be a health coach and I was listening to a lecture. And this lady, and I think we're all guilty of this sometimes, right? So working around the clock to save money. And the health coach said to the lady, why are you working so much? And she said, well, you know, I want to work really hard because I want to bring my family to Malibu for 2 weeks. And I want us to spend 2 weeks at the beach together, 2 weeks with no distractions, quality time. So I'm actually going to work for like 15 hours a day for a year to do that. And the health coach said, well, what are you looking to achieve? And she says, oh, well, I just want to be present. I just want us all to be present with each other. And the health coach said, okay, here's an idea. Get a box and every night at 6 o'clock, get your family to all put their phones in the box for 1 hour and sit down in your kitchen table in your own house and have your dinner together and be present with each other. You can do that today. And you don't have to, you know, work around the clock to save for this holiday, because then you'll be happy. And when he said that, I was like, it's all so simple, isn't it? Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, being present is the greatest gift we can give to ourselves, give to our kids. You know, if only we could stop scrolling, if only we could stop working. And of course, it's so much easier said than done. But there's little kind of things that we can do for ourselves every day to achieve that. And I think it's about sitting down and thinking, okay, where am I at and what can I do to achieve what I actually want?
Mm. And I feel like you work so much. Like, don't you? You work to kind of get more money to be able to do more things. And I feel like I was saving for years, like for all of the things that was happening at the time, saving for a house and everything. And this year I didn't save anything, but I feel like I really lived in the moment. I enjoyed everything that I've done. Nothing was a waste of money. They were all experiences. Even all of our holidays that we went on, like to Santorini, like it was a really bucket list place, but I enjoyed the moment of it. And now obviously I think, okay, I'll get back and I'll say, but having that year off, like you're always waiting for something to, okay, this is what I'm going to spend my money on and I'm working so much to kind of get there. Whereas now I was like I want to live now.
Yeah.
Like I remember actually there was a girl I was watching on, I think it was a video on YouTube, and she had been diagnosed with terminal illness and she was like, we'd saved our whole lives. It was like a similar story. She was taking her family on a holiday And she was like, I had all this money saved up for a rainy day. Like, I wish I had taken more holidays with my families over the years or whatever. She was like, I had this big nest of money that I could have been taking time appreciating it with them, and I was just saving it up. And she was like all I do now is live in the moment, because she hadn't got long left to live. It's only when stuff like that happens you realize like you need to appreciate the time that's here now rather than focusing on the future so much.
And I think so many people, like, in their, you know, girl, women especially, because we're under this like pressure to like get married, find the perfect guy in your late 20s, because you have to get married when you're 30, because you have to have your first baby before you're 32. And then when you have that baby, then what are you going to do about your career and go back after maternity leave? And then what about the next baby? And I'm actually ashamed to say, but I'm going to say it, that in the days after having my little baby Pia in 2017, I was like, I wonder when I'll have my next one. Because that's what I was conditioned to do, is, okay, I've done that.
On to the next thing. Yeah.
And I think that, you know, I just stopped that one day. Sometimes I do think about, you know, oh God, I'm 36 now and there's going to be a 5 or 6 year gap between Pia and her sibling, if we're lucky enough for the surrogacy to work out. But then I just step back and I'm like, this is just my life. You know, this is the way it's working out. And I'm kind of okay with that now.
Yeah, like everyone is on their own timeline. Mm. Like, you can't go by your friends. Like, someone could get married when they're 22, but then break up when they're 32. So you have to just go by your own timeline. And like, that saying is so true, comparison is the thief of joy.
Yeah.
When you see your friends around you and they have all this and you're thinking, what do I have? So you can't think like, I don't think like that now. I don't think, when will I get married? I don't think any of that. I just kind of live in the moment a lot more now and appreciate what's happening right now. And if what's meant to be will be.
I got so much out of this podcast, but especially the get happy now bit. I think we're going to get loads of messages about that. I think that will really kind of hit home with people. Just the last question. And I always love to talk about your family, because I've met your mum before. She's beautiful. And I felt like, I really felt their heartbreak for you over the last couple of years. And how is your mum and your sisters now?
Yeah, they're all really good. Like, last night I was talking to my mum about the podcast today, and she was like, you've came so far from last year. Like, it's mad. And one of my friends actually sent me a message yesterday about how I cocooned to heal myself. And there was like a whole article on it, and I read it and I was like, I've never actually heard that before. And she was like, think of this time last year. Like, you're so different now. It's such a big change. But they're all really, really good and so happy. Happy.
Was it hard for your mum to listen to the podcast the last time?
Yeah. Like, she went off on her own to actually listen to it, and she was quite upset. Like, still, if like anything is brought up, my mum would kind of be sad about, like, if I was reading someone's messages that they were going through, like, my mum would feel really sad for them, because she obviously saw the state I was in. Mm. And she's just, my mum is just like the best person. And she really, really helped me so much through it. Like, and she talked about it every night with me, and she was like, you will be happy again, even though I was saying the opposite. But it really affected her. I think that's why I was kind of hesitant to even introduce somebody new. And now she's like, he's so nice. He was meant for you. So she was like, that was meant to happen, and you were meant to meet him, and everything has just fallen into place now.
I have to say, I feel like you look like a different person. It's your smile, it's your voice, it's everything. I'm so happy for you, Dominique.
Oh, and you're such a
lovely girl, and you've got so much to say, like, so many important things to say. I've loved listening to you today and all the lessons you've taught me.
Thanks so much. Thanks for having me back.
I just want to say a big thank you to Dominique for coming onto the Good Glow podcast today and sharing something so personal. I think we all went on the journey with her, so it's so good to see her come out the other side. When Dominique was speaking about her journey and everything she's been through over the past while, it got me thinking about Glennon Doyle's book Untamed, and a passage that I read from it and actually wrote down on my computer afterwards, because it really spoke to me. So she says, first the pain, then the waiting, then the rising. Even though I can't know what will come next in my life, I always know what comes next in the process. I know that when the pain and the waiting are here, the rising is on its way. And because who I will always become tomorrow is so unforeseeable and specific that I'll need every bit of today's lessons to become her. I resurrect myself every day in every moment that I allow myself to feel and become. It's my daily reminder to let myself burn to ashes and rise new. And I think that's really reflective of Dominique's journey. So I just wanted to add that into the podcast at the very end. First the pain, then the waiting, then the rising. I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Good Glow podcast, brought to you with thanks to Vichy. If you did, please feel free to leave me a review and subscribe. As I said at the start of the podcast, there is a very small amount of tickets available for my National Concert Hall show on November 2nd, available over on nch.ie. I'll see you next week.